praise God for. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. My eyes are getting worse. Right, here we go. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Because the sinful mind is hostile to God, it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. But you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The talk that I'm doing today, I've entitled What the Spirit Desires, and it's kind of a vision for this coming year for us as a church. And my first question is, have you broken your New Year's resolution yet? I kind of don't sit them anymore because like within 2 weeks, I've broken my New Year's resolution, whatever it might be. You know, Russell was speaking the other week about praying more, you know, pray more. And I always break that one within 2 weeks and then I get back on track again and then I break it and then get back. It's a bit of a feast and famine thing for me at times. So has anybody actually managed to keep your New Year's resolution so far? Is there anybody in this room at all who set a New Year's resolution and you haven't broken it yet?
Whole weekend.
Just for the sake of the podcast, no hands went up whatsoever there. That's appalling, isn't it? But you know, the Spirit has resolutions too. The Holy Spirit has got a desire. Because you know, the reason you don't keep your resolutions is because you don't have the desire to keep them, ultimately. You know, that chocolate that you said you weren't going to eat any more of. It's just there winking at you on the table, isn't it? And I don't even like chocolate, but it's there in the bowl. And I walk past it to switch the telly on and it's, oh. And you kind of, there's something about unwrapping it and putting it in your mouth. And like, I'm not a big chocolate fan. I can't stop myself. Because really the desire is not strong enough to stop myself. Can't really be bothered, you know? I'm going to eat less, exercise more. Sam in here. He's gone out good. I just can't be bothered sometimes, you know. I haven't got that desire. And I want the desire. But, you know, the Spirit has a desire. And the Spirit has got a desire for us as a church and for you as individuals. And I'm going to look at both of those because they are linked together. The Spirit has a desire for the church. So what is the desire of the Spirit for Ormskirk Christian Fellowship? Well, the desire that he has for us as a church is the same desire that he's always had. It's the same desire that Jesus had and has. The same desire that the Father had and has. The desire is this, to seek and to save the lost. That's the desire of the Spirit for this church, for this year. To see people who do not yet know him coming into a significant and meaningful relationship with Jesus. He desires us as a whole church this year to step out into evangelism. And that's why I'm excited about what Nick has just shared there. about Scott Estate, about stepping out and knocking on doors and painting shops and handing out leaflets and wearing the t-shirts and saying to people, do you want to come and find out a little bit more about Jesus? And if they say no, they say no, but it's been offered out there. And if they say yes, praise God. And I want to say thank you, Lord God, for just placing that on Nick's heart. That's why this year I'm excited about Mark Greenwood is coming. For those who didn't get my email, on the 17th of January, which is a Tuesday, and then for the three Tuesdays after that, so it's four Tuesdays, we're going to have a guy called Mark Greenwood coming to talk to us about evangelism. He's going to be going up to the ministry centre at Christ Church up there. And we're going to be joined with the street pastors and with members of Christ Church and other churches. And we're going to be hearing Mark's teaching on how to step out in evangelism. And he's a great evangelist. He nationally goes round and preaches and speaks to people about evangelism. He's the guy who came and spoke at our Servolution weekend. Great guy. Very funny as well. So if you want to have a laugh, getting a bit fed up, come on the Tuesday night, because he's a comedian. He actually does stand-up comedy, so he's okay. But I'm excited about that, because he's going to talk to us about how to share our stories. And that might scare some people, think, oh, evangelism, is he going to get me to stand up? I don't know what he's going to do. He might do. I can't say, oh, don't worry about it, come along, because he might actually get you to do scary stuff. Because to be honest with you, evangelism is scary sometimes. You know, somebody says to you, your closest friend that you've ever known throughout the whole of your life, why are you a Christian? Am I going to go to hell? What do you think about suffering? What about other religions? What do we do about that? Oh, I don't know. Oh, somebody else. Sometimes we need a boldness. And I think this training course is going to be great for us, because it's something which is going to bring a boldness, and I'm praying it will bring a boldness to me and to all of us. I'm excited about the increasing number of street pastors we've got people coming, a lot of people from this church and other churches who are joining the street pastor team and going out. And I was out on Friday night, and it was just brilliant helping people who were throwing up outside Marks and Spencer's. And it was just great just to be there for somebody. And do you know what? It's when friends come up in the car and they're from the back seat are saying to the street pastors, thanks very much. When we put somebody with learning disabilities in a car because he's crying his eyes out because his friend had left him, and we put him in a car, and one of the street pastors pays for a taxi home for him because he'd run out of money, and he was sobbing his heart out because he didn't know what he was going to do, and we stick him in a car, and then just behind that taxi, there's another taxi driver who knows the person that we put in the taxi, and we just got out and just checking he was okay, and we said, yeah, he's okay, we just paid for a taxi for him to get home. And we kind of think to yourself, what are the repercussions that God can do with that? What can God do with that? What kind of conversations will come from that? And you think you're doing a tiny, insignificant thing. And yet God can use things. He can use our lives. And Brian was talking to me about a YouTube clip, wasn't it, Brian? How somebody says or does a small thing, and you can just see the repercussions towards somebody becoming saved. Don't put yourself down, the things that you're doing in your life. Your social event last night, we had a number of people there who are not Christians, just forming those relationships. And now we're going to go on a Burns night. And there might be a glass of whiskey. I don't know what I'll do with that, but we'll just see, because I hate that kind of thing. But, you know, we're going to go because people need to be saved. And Cafe Church and Curry Nights. You know, I'm kind of standing here saying the Spirit is saying evangelism, and I'm preaching to the converted. I'm preaching to people who know this is right. But this year I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to bring a new creativity, a new boldness and a new energy as we step out. And in particular, I believe that over the last two times we've met together in the 24-hour prayer times, that God has said to me, the answer is yes. Pray for those people that you love, that you know, who are not Christians. The answer is yes. How can the answer be no? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Who is it in your life that doesn't know Jesus? I have my sister. Lord God, this year, bring her into your kingdom. This year. This year. Who is it that you go to school with? Who is it that you work with? Who is it that you're married to? Who are your children or your parents that don't know Jesus? Why not this year? And Adrian stood up before, and I was just going to share that myself. That really, Adrian's, it's been a bit of a wilderness in Adrian's family, you know. You can't talk about politics or religion. Don't do that. It will spoil things. It will spoil Christmas if you talk about religion. Don't talk about religion. And there can be this, like, Adrian's a Christian. She's slightly weird. But we still love her. You know, we'll invite her to most things. But we'll keep the topic safe. And then something terrible happens that broke Adrian's heart and is ongoing. And then something, God somehow uses that to inspire a conversation with another person in her family about the Bible and about what she believes and about God. And this person, who's a very sort of clever person, said to Adrian, oh, you know, that's very profound what you've just shared. I mean, I know that. Adrian's always saying profound things, you know. But you know, God can use things. And I believe for this family, the time in the wilderness is ending. And have you got a family that's maybe been in the wilderness and they need bringing out of that? You need the waters to part, and you need to go through to the promised land. And just when I received that text of my sister, the song was I Can Only Imagine. Do you remember that one? I Can Only Imagine. She'd been listening to it by somebody called Mercy Me on YouTube. And she said, I listened to this song, and you know, it was really good. And I've been praying for years. I had a picture years ago of my sister and of a plug half pushed in to a socket. You know when a plug is half pushed in, nothing works, does it? But it's half pushed in. It's not like something, not the other side of the room. It's half pushed in. There's something there. She used to come to church with me when we were younger, and she was kind of put off, really. And it was a great church and great people. But I think maybe for Ruth at the stage in the life that she was at, maybe it wasn't the time. I don't know. But I know that I grew up in that church, and I've never had a time when I haven't believed in God. I've always believed in God. It's always made sense to me. It's always been something where I thought, yeah, that's right, you know. And I come from a long line of born-again people who are like missionaries out in Sri Lanka and all that kind of thing. And that doesn't make me better. And sometimes I kind of wish to myself, well, if only I was some kind of like big sinner and I'd, you know, had a Damascus Road experience, I could tell people about it. But actually, that's my story. That's my story. And my sister has a different story. And then she sends me this text. And I said, yeah, we sing that in church. And I just want to pray that God will bring her in this year. But you know, I believe that God has got in his heart our families this year. And right now, you know somebody in your family that you think, oh, you know, they're a million miles away. And I believe the Spirit is calling us, is desiring us to be more determined, to not give up, to not give up. The reason I am a Christian, and the reason, more importantly, I am still growing as a Christian and have moved on as a Christian is because people did not give up on me. When I fell flat on my face, people didn't give up on me. When I messed up, people didn't give up on me. People didn't give up on me. When I came up here, my cousin Paul was praying for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit because he got it before me. And I believed in God, but I didn't know God. You know, you can know about God, but that's different from knowing God. You can know all the scripture verses, you can know all the theology, you can know all the doctrine, you can know what you should be believing and believe it. But actually there's a difference between knowing all of that stuff and actually knowing God, that he loves you deeply and that you can get into a relationship with him where you can love him. And my cousin Paul was praying that, oh Lord, may Mike be filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's there. You know, we need the Spirit. And I was. You know, he didn't tell me until after I was filled with the Spirit that he'd been praying. And I was. So don't give up on people in your families, because there are people here who can testify of lives changed, turned around after years of prayer. God can do all things. Think of that thing you think God can't do right now. Just put it in your head. That thing that God can't do. That person that God can't reach. God can move mountains. God can shake the earth. God can part the waters. God can stop the sun in the sky. God can raise from the dead. God can make city walls fall down. God can shut the mouths of lions. God can keep people alive who've been thrown into a fiery furnace. God can heal the sick. God can speak to hearts that were cold and warm them to Him again. God can speak through prophets. God can raise up people who thought they were insignificant and use them to become kings of Israel. God can take a child born in a manger in Bethlehem, and God can use that child, because it is Him, to bring the salvation of the world. God can save your family, your friends, and the people in the Scott estate. Sam is going to climb up Mount Kilimanjaro fairly soon, and I just kind of think, I want to pray that the conversations that come from that, why are you doing that, Sam? In the next few weeks, we're going to be painting the railings around Greetby Hill Primary School. It's part of Servolution. Why are we doing that? Is it just because we're nice people? Think of the conversations, you know, the opportunity to go and do an assembly. Jesus loves you, so we're going to paint your railings. You know? Jesus loves me. Because that's what it's about. And on Friday night, I was with Peter from Christ Church, Peter Bootle. And one guy said, look, guys, why are you doing this? And Peter said, well, you know, basically, at the end of the day, because we want people to know Jesus. And sometimes it's right to say that, and sometimes it's not right, and it was right. And then the guy shared about his son who had died when he was 18 years old, and he's buried in the churchyard there. And there's a, you know, it gets us thinking, doesn't it? How God can use just little things. I'm going to ask everybody in this church this year, fairly soon, every single person who knows Jesus Christ, I'd like everybody here to share your personal story of how you became a Christian. So now people are starting to think, oh, what will I say? I don't mean necessarily standing up here at the front. Some of you, that's how you can do that, and we're going to record that. For some of you, I want you to write it out. Yeah, for some of you, it might be that you just tell it to somebody, and they'll write it out for you. But I would like the stories to get out there, because it really blesses our hearts when you share stories, when you share your story. Because I've got my story. And I've shared that before with people, and you've heard my story of how 28 years ago I gave my life to Jesus Christ. How I moved from knowing about God to knowing God. Sarah shared her story just a little while ago, and it really touched Rebecca's heart. Every single person in this room has a story to tell of how you came to know Jesus Christ. And there is somebody here that needs to know it. There's somebody alive that needs to hear your story, because they can relate to you. They can relate to what it means to be in your story. They can hear what it is to be involved with the things that you were involved with and become a Christian. Because some people hear my story and think, well, that's not relevant to me. So we're going to be asking people, I'll be emailing people, coming to people and saying, can you write your story down? And I don't mean like pages and pages. I mean just like, you know, that size is enough. Start thinking about it now. But someone somewhere needs to hear your story, and God will bless you with it. But how do we share our story effectively? And that's where we come to the passage we've looked at. I'm just going to finish with this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says this. Set your minds on what the Spirit desires. Because what we set our minds on is often what we get and what we reflect. I like watching Poirot. Does anybody else like Poirot? Anybody into oh yeah, Jonathan's into Poirot. But a strange thing, you know, if I overdose on Poirot, and sometimes there was a series I was on like nearly every single night, wasn't it, just recently. If I overdose on Poirot, I start getting a little bit like, I start ordering things. You know, like I would start doing things with things that are in front of me. Does anybody else do that?
No,
is that just me? You start thinking, oh, I like him. You start walking slightly differently, don't you? It's strange. You go into the bathroom and straighten all the towels up. Okay, why am I doing that? Because what you set your mind on, what you fix your mind on, the things that you admire and even the things you don't admire, if you're focused on them so much, you begin to live it out. And if we're going to be a church that evangelizes, we need to be a church which is fixated with Jesus, that is filled up with Him. You know, if I was to have this drink of water here, oh, that's good. I needed that. And there's more in here. Yeah, that's good. There comes a certain point where it doesn't do me so much good anymore. Because it's empty, okay? There's actually nothing in there anymore. What I need to do is I need to go back to the source and I need to fill up again. And there are so many people who are thinking, oh, I've got to evangelize, and yet there's nothing there inside. And we need to go back to the source. We need to go back to that place. And Psalm 73 is an absolutely brilliant psalm, as I've been reading it just recently, connected to this talk. And here at the beginning of Psalm 73, he's so honest. He says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I'd nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And here is a man who had almost fallen away from God, because he had seen all of the carefree life, the wealth, the health, the strength, he mentions all those things, of the wicked. And he began to think that he had believed in God in vain. He thought, what's the point of believing in God? All these wicked people, they get away with it. And my life is just suffering. And then we see in verse 17, powerful verses, till I entered the sanctuary of God. I was desperate until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood the final destiny of these wicked people. And it says, later on it says, I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. Afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire nothing on earth besides you. That's where we need to be. To desire nothing on earth. And then on verse 28, we see the evangelistic verse. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. So what are we setting our minds on for 2012? On Christmas Day, Grace has her birthday on Christmas Day. And it's Christmas as well, so she's presents. But we got this new bike for her, this great new bike. And we kept it at Mark's for a little while. We hid it at Mark's. We thought, this is going to be really great. And then I sneaked around on Christmas Eve and I got the bike, put it in the kitchen. So she was in the living room opening her presents. I put it in the kitchen there. And she'd open up all her presents. And I said to Grace, and there's another last present. And Adrian said, and it's a mince pie. And we looked at each other. Oh, that's a bit of a laugh, a mince pie. And she's going to go in and she's going to find a bike. And she's going to be so excited and I'm so amazed. And she thinks it's a mince pie, it's going to be a bike. And she went in, and I followed her with the camera, and she went into the kitchen, and she looked around on all the kitchen tops, and then walked back out again. I had my camera ready. I said, did you notice anything else? And she said, there's no mince pie. I said, go in again. There's a bike in there. A bike! And she went in. And it's not a massive kitchen, is it? It's not as though... It was there. And my thought about that is kind of like we're looking towards this year of what God could possibly do. And I think sometimes we're looking for mince pies when God has got so much more for us. You know, we're looking for crumbs and God has got a whole bakery full of something he wants to do. Just imagine this year. Well, what's your goal for this year? Is it to lose a couple of stone or survive? Or to get a little bit more comfortable. God has got so much more. Imagine leading someone to Christ this year. Imagine someone in your family giving their lives to Jesus this year. Not as a trophy, not because, oh, wasn't it great, you know, I've led somebody to Christ. But because you love them so much that you want to see them come into eternal life, what would you prefer? A mince pie or a new bike? What would you prefer? Losing a couple of stone or somebody in your family coming to know Jesus Christ? What are we setting our hearts on? And in Romans chapter 15, verse 30 says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that was definitely a theme of our prayer meeting on New Year's Day. Steve Hebden is coming in a few Saturday's time on the 18th of February and the 10th of March to talk to us about the Father heart of God. And I believe we need to really hear this revelation. Because, you know, when you know that God loves you so deeply, as a father, true father loves a child, to know that we are adopted as sons and daughters to the living God, it sets us free. You know, you just want to go and share. But God wants us to live in accordance with His Spirit. He wants us to step out into a new life of sanctification, of righteousness, of holiness, to live close to Him so that we can be people who are not just Christians in name, but Christians by nature. And people say to us, who is this God that you believe in? And one more story from Friday night. I love going out. It gives you so much sermon material when you go out as a street pastor. And I was just walking behind this middle-aged lady. And she'd obviously had a little bit too much to drink. Not judging her, but she had a little bit too much to drink. And she kind of collapsed, and like her legs went up in the air like that on the floor. She looked great to that point. She looked really good. And she'd got herself dressed up and had the high heels on. Beautiful makeup, quite, you know, nice looking middle-aged lady with a handbag. And she just like, and the curb was just a little bit too high for her, heading off towards the taxis from the Mustard Club. And she went down like that, up on her legs like this. And I helped her up to her feet. And she said, oh, I'm so embarrassed. She said, I'm an educated woman. I'm so embarrassed. And I'm not, you know, she was lovely. She was lovely. And I'm sure a few people in this church have been there, but not me. But you kind of thought, yeah, but you didn't look educated at that point in time. And I'm kind of thought to myself, do our lives match up to what we say we are? You know, we say that we are full with the joy of Jesus. Well, do our lives match up to that? Because when our lives match up, as Adrian was sharing before, Adrian's life matched up. And so joy begins to listen. And people will listen if our lives match up. If our lives match up. We need to be Christians, not just by name, but by nature too. So what is God calling us? What does the Spirit desire for us in 2012? To step out in new, bold and creative ways of sharing Jesus with others. And that's going to happen. With those that we love, with the stranger, with the person next door, with the one who is close at hand. To set our minds on Him and connect with Him again. To enter His sanctuary and find His perspective. To fix our and set our mind on Him. To have higher expectations of this coming year than we may have had at first. What is God going to do in you, with you, through you, for you? And to live out lives that reflect Him and reflect His glory, that gives, as Tom said before, that just gives all the glory back to Him. We lay all our crowns down, all our crowns down before Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just pray. Father God, I want to thank You that You are a living, loving God. I want to pray for every single person here in this church right now. We're all in the middle of different circumstances. Some of us are full of joy. Some of us are in a season of grief. Some of us are in a time of fear and worry about the future. Some of us are not knowing what's going to be happening around the corner. For some of us, we are thinking about the finances and we're thinking about our families and the cares that we have. And we lift all that before You. I thank You, Lord, that You care. As Dave said before, Lord, we come as we are. We come as we are. We are undone before You. But we thank You that You are for us. Even when we're against ourselves, You are for us. Help us this coming year, Lord, to step out boldly, to step out with joy, to know that abundance that You have for us, not the crumbs, but the bakery, not the mince pie, but the bike. Lord, You have something more for those that we love, Lord. And right now we name those people to You, those that we want to see come into Your kingdom this year because we love them, those that You died for. Lord, Lord, come. And whatever You can use us in, however You can use us. In Jesus' name, amen.